If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the press for October the 21st, 2022. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Good to have you here with us. We're going to go through our live Bet Friday show here and talk a little about where we are in the beginning stages of the second round of the CJ Cup in South Carolina. Touch a little bit on the Mallorca Golf Open, some things that have happened there of interest. And we'll kind of bring it all together for the weekend. Maybe touch a little bit on what's happening on the LPGA. But again, typically don't see odds for that. Once the tournament starts, and we really don't have those available to us here in Maryland. So, let's talk about the CJ Cup. We had an interesting first round yesterday. If you look at the scores from yesterday, I think it was better than a lot of people expected. My friend Steve Elkington, who is an ambassador for the club, they don't have members technically, but an ambassador for the club, knows the place well. He expected the winning score to be like 8 to 10 under par, and that could still happen. But the lead score after day one was 6 under 65, and that was shot by Trey Mullinax and Gary Woodland. They both put up 65s to take the lead after day one together. Then you had some 66s, including Tom Kim and Rory McIlroy. You also had Cam Davis in there. Aaron Wise was in there. Wyndham Clark. And Kurt Kitayama, who typically is a fast starter. And I've talked about him in the past on the show as pretty much a first-round leader pick if you really love that kind of bet. Almost every time he plays, because he tends to get out to a hot start when he plays pretty well. If he's playing poorly, it's just bad. But if he's playing well, you really have to look at him given the numbers that you see. But right now, where we are in the leaderboard, early in round one, so we haven't even gotten half the players out on the golf course yet in the 78-person field. Lee Hodges leads the way through nine holes. He is 4 under on the round through nine. He is 7 under total, shot 68 yesterday. A couple of golfers on the golf course who improved yesterday. It's 6 under. Seamus Power and Cam Davis are both in there. They're very early stages of their round. You got Mullinax and Woodland, who still haven't teed off yet. When we're recording this, they still have another hour and a half basically each. They're in back-to-back groups at 12:01 and 12:13. Then you have some players on 5 under out there. You've got the guys who haven't teed off yet: Kitayama, McIlroy, Tom Kim, Wyndham Clark, Aaron Wise. But KH Lee is 2 under through three. That's obviously going to be different by the time you probably listen to this. Some tickets that we have in hand for the week that are going okay. After day one, Tyrrell Hatton shot 67 yesterday, opened with a double bogey today, then got it back after four holes. Sebastian Munoz is out there. Billy Horschel's out there. Sun James out there. Don't have tickets on those guys. Hovland and Siwoo Kim put up 67s yesterday. Told people about Brian Harman. He is T19 at the moment. Shot 68 yesterday. That's not a bad number. One guy that I have in hand in this 3-under group that has not teed off yet is Tom Hoagie. He shot 68, looked really good doing it. I'm very interested in where he finishes today, obviously. Shane Lowry tees off at 12:25. We have him in hand. He shot 68 yesterday. Alex Noren, he was 2-under on the round early and then double bogeyed a hole to drop back to even par on the round. So he is T28, 2-under par. He was 80-1, was the long shot of the week of the bets that we took. And it obviously kind of makes sense. Just out of curiosity, if you wondered where my 1,000-1 $5 play was, Bio Kim, he shot 72 yesterday, 56, T56 out of 78 players. Some guys that I did have in hand actually were way worse. Tommy Fleetwood, who I had in hand, 73, and we'll talk about him in a second. And Jordan Spieth shot 74, 4 over yesterday. So both of those guys, I mean, I talked about Spieth, being convinced about Spieth in part because of his comments leading into the tournament, saying he really liked the golf course, that it really spoke to him, something that invokes creativity. And I think this was a case where I kind of, and with Fleetwood, we'll talk about him in a second, got talked into it, not because of my modeling, not because of my data, but because of public sentiment. And Jordan Spieth is a heavily bet golfer. People like betting Spieth, not like to the degree of Tiger Woods, but they like betting the guy. And it creates a problem because his odds are typically not reflective of where he is or where he fits in our model every week. And frankly, my model is typically not kind to Jordan Spieth. And that's not because he's a bad player. It's just because he goes through long stretches where he's not a good player. And those stretches make it difficult to trust him week to week. He was 39th in our ranking, 39th in the model that we published this week over at golfnewsnet.com. That's not good for a guy who was opened at 30 to 1 and got bet down to like 25, 22 to 1, depending on your shop. That's not a good number. And so I think it's very difficult to kind of trust a guy like that when the numbers tell you one thing, public sentiment tells you the other. Sometimes you more often than not should just go with your instinct. So I'm going to eat it on a bet this week because he's not going to win. And same with Tommy Fleetwood. Fleetwood was showing signs of kind of coming into form and kind of got talked into it a little bit. Not that anyone was doing anything ill-gotten or whatever to try to talk me into it or nefarious. But no, I just kind of thought, you know what? I did see some things. You know, I'm going to put 30, 40 bucks on him. And then immediately he wets the bed. Why would you do that? Again, we look at the top 10 for the week. Rory McIlroy was number one by a ton. It's no surprise that he shot 500 par. Tom Kim doesn't really have a whole lot of data in our system, which is why he doesn't really rank as high as he should. When he gets more data, that'll work out and he'll be right up there. But he would be up there this week. Justin Thomas didn't play great. Matt Fitzpatrick played okay. You know, nothing wrong with the number that he put up yesterday, 70, but again, that's not 600 par, but he could have a good round today. We could see where that goes. And then you got Burns, who played pretty well at points. You had Rahm, Scheffler, Sungjae, and Victor Hovland, Shane Lowry, all fine. Corey Conner shot one under. That was fine. You know, all that stuff kind of worked out. Cam Young shot 73 yesterday. He's one under on the round today. So maybe he has a comeback day today. We'll see what happens there. But you got to take a lesson, and I need to take a lesson here, in trusting what you believe the numbers tell you instead of trusting what what data you can't compute tells you, whether that's opinions, whether that's just kind of how it looks, because golf changes so much from shot to shot, from play to play. Your mindset changes. And so you're trying to take something qualitative and make it work for something that's quantitative. And you need to keep quantitative to quantitative. Do what the data tells you. Don't do what you feel. Sometimes that is not going to work in your favor, but more often than not, it's going to. So lesson learned for me, going to eat it on some bets because of Fleetwood and Spieth. And if those guys had shot well yesterday and put themselves in a contention to win this tournament, I still would have felt the same way because I didn't believe what my data told me in where I placed my money. Tommy Fleetwood was 24th in my ranking. Not a bad number whatsoever. Bettable? Not really. I mean, I'd rather have gone with Matt Kuchar, who ranked 23rd. He's playing really well today. He's at 150 to 1. That would have been a better play. That would have made more sense, but didn't work out like that. And here's a scenario where a guy who plays well quantitatively is a bad qualitative play. Russell Henley. He gains strokes like crazy. He is a money-making machine. He is the modern Charles Howell III right now. Just plays great golf week to week, above the mean, above average, does well, rates out well, never wins. Do you want to bet on a guy who never wins? And I think it's hard to do. He was 13th in the ranking. Tyrrell Hatton was 15th. I know Hatton wins sometimes. I'm willing to take him, even though he was about the same golfer in terms of our model at half the odds. I'm willing to take that because I think he's going to win. Now, you can factor in some other things, of course. Current performance, how he played the Palmetto Championship, although different golf course, different time of year. But all of those things matter. Got to think about those things when you're making your bets. So we have some live players here. We'll see where we're at the end of the day. But let's look at where we are currently in terms of live odds for the CJ Cup. Again, these are going to change substantially by the time you probably listen to this, but hopefully not too much. McIlroy's the outright top of the board, plus 360 to win, frankly, makes all the sense in the world. He's playing like a guy who's the best golfer in the world. Could be the best golfer in the world, technically, at the end of this week. Tom Kim, 11-1. Again, shot 5-under yesterday. Not on the golf course yet. He's got all 18 holes in front of him, unless the wind comes in and makes it more difficult. Probably going to be there at the end of the day. Aaron Wise is interesting at 18-1. Victor Hovland, 18-1. John Rahm, 16-1. Rahm opened, or closed, I should say, at 9. Like, have him at 9 in hand. He shot 69 yesterday. That's not bad. He's 5 back. Could have a great day today. Put himself right in the tournament. And that will work out totally fine. Sungjae, 14. Cam Davis on the golf course, plus 1,200. The first round leaders that are in the clubhouse haven't played yet. Mullinax and Woodland. 25-1 for Woodland. Mullinax, 28-1. Lee Hodges, by the way, on the golf course, leading the golf tournament right now. Could change. But he's 28-1. Basically the same odds as Shane Lowry, who's on the golf course, or not on the golf course yet, at 30-1. Tom Hoagie still interests me. You got him a little bit longer, actually. About the same that I got him. I think we got him at 50. He's 55-1 right now because he's way back. Tyrrell Hatton is 60. And he played a good round yesterday. But if you look at where he's at, he's playing a really erratic round of golf. And so the odds makers have decided, hey, if he's playing pretty erratically, that means it's going to be difficult for him to move up the leaderboard. If anything, he's going to move sideways today. You get a big number on him. So that's where they're coming from there. You've got Matt Fitzpatrick, who was a really low number coming in. What, 14, 16, depending on the shot, maybe 18, depending on where you looked. Now he's 60. But if he puts up a good round today, you're trying to buy lows here. If you want to buy low on the guy. I think it'd be hard to do. Denny McCarthy is 130-1. I think he was 150-1 to start. But 130-1 kind of interests me. This is a golf course that apparently allows for a whole lot of roll. Rolling 8 or 9 on the stint meter, so it is rolling out there a ton. And you can get and he just went 20 less. You can get a good number on the guy. Plus 100 odd. You know, 100-1 odds. If you think he's going to do something today. So what you're trying to do today, really, I think it's either try to do one of two things. One, try to catch somebody before they get hot, or catch somebody as a hedge price that you think, like McIlroy or Tom Kim, that clearly showed they had the goods yesterday and you're expecting them to carry you through. You're hedging whatever bet you got on them at this point, trying to get the best price you can before they get on the golf course. And there's a decent chance that McIlroy has a good round today. He gets basically to minus money. I mean, I could see him going to even or a little bit worse if he has a great round today and takes control of the tournament. Is that proper value? Maybe, maybe not. But if you can get him plus 360 before the round, before he even hits a tee shot, and you think he's got the goods, that's not, I mean, it's half, basically half, not quite half, what he went off pre-tournament, and you have one round's worth of data. That's I think that's a reasonable price if you want to do that as a hedge. So that's kind of where I'm looking. I feel pretty comfortable with the bets that I have in hand at the moment. I like where Lowry's at. I like where Rahm is at. Those aren't bad places to be. If Hoagie catches fire today, hey, that's a great number for me to have him. If Tyrrell Hatton just kind of rights the ship getting into the house, maybe it won't be too bad. But we've got some decent players out there that could give us something worth sweating over the weekend. But we shall see. Also want to get into, just very briefly, the Mallorca Golf Open. We talked about this going into the start of the tournament yesterday, that this was going to be a difficult tournament to really like somebody, to make a conviction play. I wound up playing Kiradek as first round leader instead of to win the whole thing. And again, this was actually a great idea from Ben Coley, who does a great job talking about betting, particularly on these first round leader bets and position bets. He gets a lot of winners, but he's a very good resource for bettors. And he liked Kiradek as a first round leader play. And I think that made all the sense in the world. He is typically a fast starter. Got off to a great start a couple weeks ago in Spain, and still in Spain, still same guy. And he was live, at least early on, until yesterday. You know, Marcus Armitage go out there and just light up the golf course in the afternoon wave. But in the morning wave, he was teetering on decent until his 17th hole of the day, made a double bogey, and then birdied the last to shoot 2 under. wound up six back. But at least he was live for a little while. So that was reasonable. But if you look at the leader right now, it's Dale Whitnall, who I don't know at all. He is the world 369. He is a 91st in the DP World Tour points list. Nope, don't know him. I really don't. And he shot 63 today. So that tells you a little bit of something about professional golf, how difficult it is to predict, how deep the talent pool is, that a guy who's 369th in the world is winning a golf tournament on the DP World Tour against the guy who's ranked 25th in the world, Ryan Fox, who shot 64 today and was probably the proper play here. And we talked about that. If you wanted to go chase that, that was probably your best play available. But then if you look kind of down the leaderboard, Rasmus Højgaard showed up. He is two back of the lead. He's still got some room left in his round. Could be the leader or near the lead by the end of the day. Then you have Gavin Green, who's 401st in the world and just kind of shows up sometimes and plays great and then goes off into the wilderness and is awful. It's really hard to predict the DP World Tour. It's as difficult as live, I think, if not more difficult. So it's really hard to find winners out there, and you want to take deeper shots because things like this can happen. But I think you almost want to think about deeper shots for first-round leaders because strange things can happen. Because you look at yesterday, Armitage shot 63. Don Huizing, Belgian dude, no idea who he is. 425 in the world, shot 64 yesterday. One better, you're probably getting amazing money on him if you found some nugget of information that convinced you to bet him. But two over today. Armitage, three over today. So maybe your best plays in these types of events on the DP World Tour is find a crazy first-round leader and hope it works. And just leave everything else alone except maybe the top two or three players you feel some conviction about on the odds table. And then just walk away and hope you cash at the end of the week. Because an event like this, and next week too, by the way, we've got the Portugal Masters next week. At least that's a venue you know. Don Pedro Victoria Golf Course has hosted the tournament for several years in a row. You're going to have some course history there. And maybe you'll glean some information from the results here about current form. But at least you can kind of piece that together a little bit. We have a new venue here this week. None of these guys have ever seen this golf course. We've never seen it competitively on the DP World Tour. So really hard to kind of extract anything, and that's why we were very shy about betting the DP World Tour this week. So we'll get back at it for the Portugal Masters next week, but there you go. Briefly want to touch on the LPGA because they're a couple rounds in. They're in South Korea. They're at the midway point of their tournament. We didn't put any action on this, and for good reason. Andrea Lee is 12 under through two rounds. Lilia Vu is 50th in the world, has had a great, great year moving up the Women's World Golf ranking. She is tied at 10 under par for second place with amateur Minsul Kim and Natalia Titikal, who we talked about pre-tournament is probably someone to like a whole lot. She shot 63 to open and then shot 71 in the second round. Still in good position. Now can play the weekend, kind of backing up that great first round with a mediocre second. Lydia Ko is tied for fifth with Yayin Hong at 8 under. Hannah Green is 7th alone at 7 under par. The other thing I want to point out here is the world number one, Jin Young Ko, is DFL in her first start back to the LPGA. She's been dealing with an injury, is not playing well. I mean, 80-79, shockingly bad for her. Patty Tavitanikit, who's kind of lost her way, has really struggled this year mentally with expectations and technique and all kinds of stuff. She's 76th, 77-78. In Kyung Kim, major champion, 73-78. Ashley Buhai, reigning Women's Open champion, tied with her, 78-73, flip. Na-Yeon Choi is walking away from the LPGA, 75-74. It can be really difficult to predict new venues, long travel times, and putting those two things together created a really difficult scenario for better this week if you're trying to identify a player to really like. But at the same time, Lilia Vu was 20-1 to win, I think, and she's in position. Natalia Titikal was obviously one of the favorites, along with Lydia Ko. So it can be hard in these scenarios to try to identify a player to like, but if you just kind of stick with current quality, I think that's the best way to go on the LPGA, particularly in these long-haul events, new venues, all that stuff. And we will have an opportunity again in a couple of weeks for the Toto Japan Classic, which is the final event of their two-event swing in Asia before they come back to the United States for their final two. So there'll be some opportunities there, but there's reasons why you want to kind of limit your LPGA betting when you get into certain events, and this was one of them for sure for us. All right, that's going to do it for us today on The Press. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. Hope your bets go well this weekend if you have them. Please contact me on Twitter at Ryan Ballingy. Love to see winning tickets if you have them. We can share them with the world and have a good time. Celebrate those victories. We love doing that. All right, sounds good. We will talk to you tomorrow for The Press.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.